Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bases Loaded. Bases Loaded is a fantasy baseball podcast, and I'm your host, Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. And tonight, George is back with me. We are talking third base this time. This is episode 58, I think. I'm losing track of it. I mean, again, I mentioned this on the second base preview. I'm mentioning it now. We pre-record some of these just because, you know, our schedules get crazy in the offseason. So it's like we pump these out faster than they are actually thrown out there. Just to be full disclosure, it is what it is. In the offseason, we do what we can to get ahead. And we are busy people these days. So what's going on, George? Enough about me rambling. What's up, man?
Nothing much, man. Pretty good. Well, I mean, we're in December, man. I mean, before you know it, I mean, January is right around the corner. Things are going to ramp up, you know, like, we're busy doing our writing. We're doing these podcasts. Hey, I mean, before you know, the season's going to be here.
It'll be over before we know it.
Oh, man. Yeah, but yeah, it's good to be back here tonight talking about third base. Now, Zach and Mr. SP Streamer have not been non-tendered. They're just taking the night off.
Yeah, exactly. Not, well, maybe they have been. Like, we need replacements. I'm kidding. They're good guys. They're great co-hosts. It's been great to have everybody here, man. It's been like a little team, and it's been nice to have. I know we can fall back on each other. It's really good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Enough kissing butt with those guys. Let's just move forward. Let's see. It's still early December. Still a good time. You can join us on Patreon. I'd love to sound like a commercial. Patreon, patreon.com/fantasybaseball. If you want to support us beyond just listening, you want to join our community, you want to see what we have to offer, draft services, streaming charts, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like I'm reading a perfectly written thing, which I'm not, which is actually impressive. I digress. If you are interested in any of that, which I recommend you at least checking out, it's patreon.com/fantasybaseball. And one last thing before we get started here, just a quick reminder, if you have a chance, it's no big deal if you don't, but if you have a chance to hit that 5-star rating, leave a little review, it's greatly appreciated. It really goes a long way. But other than that, guys, let's just jump right into third base. Right at the top, I've seen people argue different directions every which way. I'm actually still a Nolan Arenado guy at 1 overall over Bregman. For me, it's Arenado and Bregman 1-2 in their own tier. I think you add a few more names to those. But for me, yeah, it's those two in their own tier. Do you have them in the same order? And then we can talk about who else you include.
I do have Arenado 1 and Bregman 2. So, yeah.
Okay. But they're not in their own tier for you. For who do you include in that tier?
I include Anthony Rendon and Rafael Devers in that tier.
Yeah, it's really simple why I don't. Track record. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it's just a simple. I mean, Rendon's been safe, but I feel like we saw his career year. He's never really been more of a. He's never really been a steady over 30 home run producer. I mean, it depends where he signs, but I don't think the RBI total, like the RBIs and run totals, are as likely as the other two. I don't know. I think it's just a tick off of the other two as far as the ceiling goes, and that's what puts him in the next tier for me.
That's fair. I mean, you can argue that. I mean, that he's not going to hit, you know, 40 home runs.
And Devers also is another guy that I explained my reasoning. It's just I believe the power is pretty legit or will remain, you know, 30 home run bat. I think we might have saw his career high in runs and RBI. And I just, again, I'm a little more concerned about the chase rate and the chase contact and the O contact. If the contact falls off just a little bit, that chase rate jumped up really big. It's up to 40%. Last I checked. It's just a small concern. Not like it's not something that makes me avoid him, but it is something again that just separates him from the top tier and puts him as low as fifth for me. Though you have him at fourth or third?
I have him fourth. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like we're far off. It's just I just put him in a different tier again.
Yeah. Now I think, you know, you and I, we did our Fantrax HQ third base rankings, and I'm not sure if anyone else had any other third baseman at number one, but it's kind of an easy call for me. Just five straight seasons now with 37 plus home runs, 200 plus, you know, runs in RBI. You're talking about 300 average consistently with Nolan Arenado, and he's only 28 years old. So, I mean,
still has cores to call home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then Bregman, I don't know. I do have a little concern with Bregman.
Stat cast page is just not pretty, like for what you expect from an elite hitter.
Right, so he hit 296 with 41 home runs. I mean, you got to wonder how much, you know, the juice ball had to do with that. When you look at his Statcast metrics, it looks like he just overperformed across the board. I mean, 592 slugging and 471 expected slugging, 272.
I was going to say a lot of it is like he pulls the ball really well, and he purposely pulls. Like that's a lot of it behind his. That's a lot of reasoning behind his home run totals and his power output. He's really good at pulling the ball. He sits on pitches, I think, up and in. I was watching a thing about him.
Yeah.
How he does that. Like that's just the type of hitter he is. He's such a good hitter that he purposely sits on certain pitches and pulls them, and he makes sure he hits them properly to generate the power that isn't maybe naturally there. And that's why you have, like, I'm surprised he was able to do the home runs he did, though, with the barrel rate being so low, actually.
Right. I was just going to point that out, the 5.4% barrel rate.
Which is really weird for – so, yeah, he did – I mean, yeah, so he overachieved on every in every aspect. So, that's why it's like I still have him in the same tier, but to put him above Arenado, I don't know why people are doing that. I thought I saw one person do it, though.
Yeah, I think one person did do it. But, yeah, I'm right there with you. He's second right here for me. He did really improve that plate discipline, 17.2% walk rate, 12% strikeout rate.
Which is crazy how he improved it, but
yeah.
He walked more than he struck out the year before anyway. So now he really walked more than he struck out this year. It's crazy. I love that. It's a similar, you know, that plate discipline is similar to Jose Ramirez, which we'll get to shortly. And Jose Ramirez also is another guy who just doesn't have the Statcast data to back up any of the power output he puts up. So
right,
it shows that it can still be done. That's all.
Yeah. Now. I mean, does the whole, you know, sign stealing scandal, does that have any impact on you when it comes to, like, any Astros hitters?
No, because home or away, I believe I looked into it for 2019 purposes. I think we had Zach from Fake Teams on here, and he was doing it with me. We were looking it up simultaneously. I think Bregman, I'm going to look it up real quick. I think he was one of them. We looked up some of the bigger name guys, and his home and road splits just for 2019 anyway. I think he actually hit. I think they hit better on the road. It was pretty like, it was nothing really concerning at all about the splits. Like it wasn't like obvious. Let's see here. I pulled him up. Home and away in 2019, he hit for a better average on the road. He hit for more home runs on the road, and this is in fewer games and fewer at bats. So it's like I'm really not concerned about his away stats at all. And and they were known to be cheating at home. You know what I mean? I doubt they were cheating on the road. They didn't have center field cameras to take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's no doubt that Bregman is, you know, an elite hitter.
And again, sure. I looked at him, Altuve, and I think it was a Correa or one of the other. Oh, Springer. Because Correa didn't have enough sample with the injury, I think. But. I looked at those three, and Springer, I believe it was Springer and Bregman that both hit better on the road, and Altuve that barely hit worse. So it was just one of those things where it's like, sure, they might have stole signs at home, but they were still such – like the hitting talent was so real that they did it just as well on the road too. And I don't think they were stealing signs on the road. I don't remember that being part of the issue. Do you? I don't.
Right, yeah.
So just a little thing for people, because there are a lot of people that are legitimately – concerned about it, and I'm just that's my reason why I'm not concerned. But what about you? Are you concerned at all, or does like the splits kind of help ease your concerns a little bit? Or
Yeah, no, I'm not too concerned at all. I mean, it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I still have Bregman number two here.
Yeah, so there you
right?
go.
Yeah,
but like technically, if you want to, that's like a that would be like a tiebreaker. Well, you know what? I kind of wasn't worried, but maybe I was torn between Bregman and Arenado. That could be something that's like, oh, why not? That could be my tiebreaker. Why I like Arenado more? I could see that be a reason. I don't. Obviously, I have my other reasons, but I could see people using that. I don't know. I don't think it's irrelevant. I don't think it's relevant for Bregman in particular on that team.
Yeah. But yeah. Now just moving down here now to number mm-hmm. three. I mean, I know that some people can make an argument for Anthony Rendon being number one, third baseman. And maybe in points leagues, I can see that, you know, he hits a ton of doubles and looking at his Statcast stuff. I mean, everything lines up perfectly. You look at the expected slugging of 599, he slugged 598. You look at the expected batting average of 319, he hit 319. You know, it's all there. You like the launch angle, 19.5 degree launch angle, good solid exit velocity, 12% barrel rate. It's all there. I mean, and I think he's always, you know, flashed that potential. I don't think anyone expected him to be hit over 30 home runs this year. He did. It was the first time in his career he did. I remember going back to the My Guys. I think I called it that. You know, this would be his first, 30 plus home run season. And yeah, sure enough, 34 home runs. I think he could do it again. I really do. I think he's just as safe as they come. Now,
I wonder where he signs though. I really am right. curious. I haven't really heard much chatter about it.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of think, I know the Rangers are, rumored to be going after him.
The White Sox, maybe
the White Sox. You got to think that the Nationals want to bring him back.
Well, the Nationals apparently are like really aggressively going after Donaldson from what I read today.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean,
I'm just saying that's what I read. I mean, I could be wrong. They could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, so we'll see. He's obviously one of the top free agents out there. There's going to be a ton of teams, wanting to get Rendon. I know that. Did I see the Dodgers were thinking of, or was it Strasburg? One of those guys, but
I think the Dodgers are tied to Rendon.
To Rendon as well,
Lindor,
right?
I mean, Cole, like you can name a team, and they are tied to them right now.
Yeah,
I just wonder how many people are going to sign. Like, he's going to sign by the time his podcast airs. And we're going to have to do what we did for second base all over again.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I love Anthony Rendon. He's got a near one-to-one, strikeout to walk ratio. And I mean, he's just an elite hitter. And now I do, the reason why I have him number three.
I have him here as well.
So. Yeah. A little bit of injury concerns. It seems like every season there's like a couple weeks where he's like dealing with some kind of like nagging injury. But I mean, other than that, yeah. He's just a dude, man. He's just awesome.
And he likes bourbon, which is never a bad thing. I wonder which type he likes to drink. I'm genuinely curious. I got to look that up. Rendon's three for me as well, but what keeps him out of that top tier, like I said before, is just the lack of track record the other two have shown. But he's in the same tier with me as Devers. So it's like we aren't different there. We just – you put them both in that first tier. I don't. What is it? I think you've talked about Devers in the past, but if you want to sum it up real quick, what you really like about him, and we can move on to who my number four is and your number five is because of the same guy in Jose Ramirez. Before we touch on Ramirez, if you want to touch on Devers real quick about like what you do buy into and all that?
Right, sure. So I think Devers has joined that top tier, that top tier of four that I have here. He hit 311 with 32 home runs. Now, I know you kind of cited his contact percentages, but his strikeout, he did cut his strikeout rate by 7%. His Statcast page is, off the charts. He's, in top 6% in exit velocity, 93rd percentile expected batting average, 91st percentile hard hit rate. And then, looking a little deeper into the Statcast stuff, I found that he by far led the majors with 176 batted balls hit over 100 miles per hour. So, I mean, I think that power is legit. I think there's still more power to be unlocked. He chips in some steals. He's in a good lineup. I think he's right there. I think he's going to be a perennial, close to 300 hitter and putting up 30 plus home runs.
Real quick, you have his Statcast page pulled up or no?
Yeah.
What's his exit velocity? Like what percentile?
Percentile is 94th percentile at 92.1.
What's the hard hit percentage percentile?
91st percentile.
91st? Okay. What's ex-woba?
His ex-woba is 78th percentile.
Ex-slug?
It is 85th.
And XBA?
93rd.
I ask you all this because my boy JD Davis beats him in three of those categories. What's up? We will get to JD Davis later. Oh, man. We will get to JD Davis later, but I couldn't help myself because I'm like, I know his is red, but I knew Davis's is red, but I knew Devers was, I can't do it. I can't pronounce it. Devers
stack. Devers Davis.
Yeah. It's like the Olsen Alonzo thing. I just can't get their names right.
Yeah.
I knew that both their Statcast pages were red, and I was like, I gotta do this. I know it's a dumb comp. He's not gonna be Devers, or is he? To be determined. But we are getting way ahead. Let's go ahead and move over to Jose Ramirez. We both have him in our top five. We both, I guess, are not really as concerned as maybe others might be about the production. We know the year-long slump, if you combine the second half and first half of 2018 and 2019, was an ugly one, but he snapped out of it in a big way. And if it wasn't for injury, he was carrying teams to, like, championships, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was one of them. I was, you know, just being patient, riding out that cold streak, and then he turned it on. It was unfortunate that he broke his hand and wasn't able to, you know, finish out our fantasy season. But yeah, I mean, I have him fifth, but he can very much be right up there with the top four guys. I mean,
he has been
absolutely. I mean, he put up a monster season, you know, 2 years ago, and he's still very much capable for me of at least, you know, hitting 25 home runs, 25 steals. Now, I know the power has been in question a little bit, just because, you know, you look at the Statcast you know, metrics throughout his career, and they don't necessarily jump off the page. But I mean, yeah, this is, you know, three seasons in a row now that he's shown that he can hit for power, that, you know, it's legit. The prolonged slump, you know, is a little bit concerning. You know, I'm still comfortable taking him in the second round, no problem. Now, you also got to wonder, you know, how much of that slump played into how much he ran, because he did get 18 steals in the first half, and his pace slowed down. I know he missed time in the second half, but his pace slowed down in the second half. He only had 6 steals. So you got to wonder, you know, how much he would be running. But I mean, hey, he, like I said, 25-25, even 30-30, he can do it. And he, you know, he's capable of being a good hitter, of hitting for, you know, decent average. So I'm a big fan of Ramirez, and despite having him fifth, I think he can still be right up there with the elite.
The crazy part is every one of these players in the are like top 20 to top 25 players. So,
right, yeah. Like, yeah, like I said, I have no problem taking Ramirez in the second round.
Yeah, early second. Like, it's for me, I don't, because the speed itself separates him from a lot of guys. So, I don't know. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. Yeah. I like the value. Honestly, I think he's solid. I think he has that first round potential all day. We can move off these top five, though, because we can talk. They could be their own podcast. But after that, it gets interesting. It just goes. Third base is really deep. It's probably the next deepest of the infield positions behind shortstop. But it can. You could argue that it's actually just as deep. You get into this next group of players, and for me, it's a big tier. Like a big tier, everywhere. I'm higher than most on Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah,
but he's in the same tier 6 through 11 for me. Suarez, Moncada, Chris Bryant, Machado, Guerrero Jr., and Chapman. For me, they make their own tier, and you can make your argument for any of them. For me, Suarez, I have at 6. I think it's the big power. He's going to this lineup seems to be getting better around him as far as the Reds in general. You can see more lineup protection, which you have now in moves behind him. The home runs are probably going to be 35 floor, solid, close to 200 total. 100 between runs and RBIs. I'd say realistically 180 runs and RBIs, 90 each is fair, with a 250 minimum batting average. I think he's closer to a 260 guy. In the second half, we saw a 260 hitter or 270 hitter. I think 260 is fair. I don't know. I really like it. I think the power is potentially difference making compared to the rest of the guys in this tier, except for maybe Machado, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Right. Okay. So I actually have Suarez 9th in my rankings, so I'm a little bit lower.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know you're lower. I know you're lower than me. I told you a little bit high.
Yeah, so I have Suarez a little bit lower in my rankings. I have him ninth. So just a few things that concern me are the strikeout rate. You know, strikeout rate went up. It's at 28%. He did pull the ball a ton more. So my concern is that he sells out for power, and without the juice ball, does he come close to 50 home runs again? Now, you know, it looks like he did overperform his expected batting average by quite a bit, because it was at 248. Maybe the strikeout percentage has a lot to do with that, carrying down the expected batting average. But, like I said, that's my concern, is that if he sells out for power, he continues his pull tendencies. If he's a 260 hitter, you know, 35 home runs, I don't see how he's much different than Moustakas, who you can get, you know, 60 picks later.
I was thinking about that as I said that, to be completely honest. I don't know. I just think because we saw him almost hit 50 this year with 100 RBIs. And, he hit 270. And if you look at his past, I know, like you said, he sold out for power. It's really hard to ignore, because you look at just 2018, where he had the 277 batting average, or expected batting average, I should say. What did he do for his actual batting average?
283.
Yeah. So 283, 260, 248, 280. So, and I just look, you look at StatCast, you could tell he changed his swing a little bit, because the launch angle increased, which explains the home runs. But look at that barrel rate, top 7% at 14% barrel rate. That's a really impressive barrel rate. But it's weird. He sold out for power and his exit velocity dropped.
Right,
His hard hit rate.
Yeah, his exit velocity and hard hit rate dropped. His exit velocity dropped kind of significantly, almost 2 miles an hour.
I'm not concerned, though, because he did 49 home runs. Now, maybe he finds it's not as successful. Maybe I'll even come down on him a little bit, because, again, right now he's just at the top of a tier for me. But I'm wondering why would I rather have, honestly, the name that came to mind is, why wouldn't I rather have Machado? Like, Machado seems like the type of guy I'd rather have over him. But I don't want Machado that high, so maybe I move Suarez down. I can move Suarez down to eight, and then move Machado and Chris Bryant up. That might happen, because the more I look at him, the more I'm not – I don't know. I feel like every day with him it's different. I'm sold on him some days. Other days I'm like, meh. So it's, I don't know. It's tough. I think
it is. Suarez is tricky.
You look at that 49 home run. You look at the 49 home runs. You see and it was a strong second half. He finished strong after starting off a little on the rough side. I think we obviously know that the fact that he can hit 50. The same argument. It's pretty much like an Alonso type. We've seen him do it, but now we're not expecting him to do it. Because I get he's not as, obviously the metrics don't back it up as much as like an Alonso type, but. It's a lot of it's ballpark too. Look at his ballpark, you know, it can help make up for some of the deficiencies that he might have shown too.
Right. So Steamer has him projected for 253 average and 35 home runs. And I mean, like I said, that's pretty much identical to Moustakas, you know,
Moustakas is actually projected 35 and 260.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, so there you go.
I'm gonna have to rethink my Suarez love. I really am.
I might. Yeah, and that's not to say that Suarez isn't going to be a great player next year. I mean, that just goes to show how deep third base is when you have a guy who hit 48 home runs, and I have him here down at nine.
I think that's the difference between him and Moose. Moose has never shown that ceiling Suarez has, so I think Suarez definitely obviously needs to be ranked above him. I still think he belongs in this tier, and we have him similar. I just might be too high on him. But then when you look at somebody like Chris Bryant, where's Chris Bryant at for you?
I actually have Chris Bryant sixth, and this one's most questionable for me.
You look at his StatCast data, and it's like really unfavorable.
Right. Yeah.
Except for his speed.
Right. He has good sprint speed.
But doesn't steal bases.
Right. the thing, I mean, the sprint speed does help. I mean, it can help maintain like a good BABIP.
Yeah, batting average and all that, yeah.
Batting average, right. So that's why I have Chris Bryant at six. I kind of have him down as like kind of a boring but safe pick if you're looking at like maybe like a 280 average, mid-20s to 30 home runs. The thing is, like, can he get 100% healthy? How healthy is he, you know? Like,
will he ever be the same?
Will he ever be the same? You know, it just seems like his StatCast metrics have really dipped since, you know, after that 2016 season.
He had that shoulder issue, right?
Right. Yeah.
And never really recovered. It seems like you look at his Statcast data, you look at his projections. Cause I have the steamer projections in front of me for like every player. And obviously the counting stats are better, but like a Jeff McNeil is like a poor man, Chris Bryant, as far as like a few more steals, a better batting average, 20 home runs instead of 30 home run upside. But I don't know. It's just like a poor man. Just what it reminds me of, like just a guy that you can bank on, solid, safe, but I don't know. I mean, that's probably a bad one, but I don't know. He's one that I was just looking at. I'm like, he has the batting average. He has like the 20 home run. Cause I think Bryant, take away the juice ball, he's the type of guy I feel like he's going back to 25 home runs. Like, what did he hit 2018? Like 27, something like that?
Yeah, let's see.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just remember him hitting. Like, he hit in the 20s in 2018. Got back over 30 last year, but how much of that was the juice ball compared to?
Yeah, so he hit 29 in 2017, yeah. Okay, and then he hit 13 home runs in 2018 because his season injury was cut short. He only played 102 games, right?
Still 102 games, 13 home runs. That barely extrapolates to like 28, probably like 28-ish. So I guess 30 is okay. So, okay, obviously McNeil's a bad comp. I'm really off tonight. but I guess my point was just somebody that's like, I don't know. I guess Chris, that's why it's like, I can understand Chris Bryant there. I don't know. I hate seeing a Statcast page that looks like his, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I have him six, and this one's the one that's most questionable for me. I wasn't sure how I felt about having him over, you know, someone like Suarez or Moncada, and I actually have Vlad Jr. right behind him. I'm not so sure how I feel about that either, but yeah, I have Chris Bryant down as kind of a boring but safe kind of pick. I don't think he's going to have that, you know, 40 home run upside anymore. Like I said, I think he can still hit for a good average, about 280. And I think you're looking at mid to upper 20s in home runs with probably some decent counting stats, just so long as that lineup remains, you know, as good as it is right now.
I'm having a hard time moving Suarez down. I'm just picturing that lineup getting better around him. I'm picturing, you know, him having more lineup protection, so he should see better pitches. I don't know, man. I think the ceiling, I think I want to chase that ceiling a little more than taking the floor of Bryant.
I think that's I mean, I can see that. I just think that, have a feeling that you're going to be disappointed chasing that power.
Well,
I think,
you want to talk about disappointments, let's talk about chasing Vlad Jr. Like, seriously, that's disappointing. Like, you're paying for it without having seen even a chance, like, other than his minor league stats, which I get, dude. I don't doubt the pedigree. I'm really just anti paying for it without seeing it first.
Right. So I have him at seven. Because I'm a little more optimistic that he's gonna rebound his sophomore season. You know, I take a look at Vlad's numbers, and I mean, he had a max exit velocity of 118. Yeah, if you look at his page,
those were ground balls.
I mean,
I don't want.
I mean, if we listen back to, I kind of made the same argument before this last season with Juan Soto. I cited his ground ball rate as a reason for concern. It was at 53%, and I mean, I faded Juan Soto. That was a big mistake on my part. I mean, if you look at these guys with pedigree, I mean, you got to trust the talent too. You know, that does have a lot to do with it. And I mean, Soto is a perfect example of just an elite hitter that knows how to make adjustments. And I think Vlad is right there too. He hit the most balls in baseball over 115 miles an hour. So we know that he has that raw power. You know, the ground ball rate is a concern because, you know, he's not going to have the best sprint speed, but I don't have a doubt that he can make those adjustments. He's, you know, in a couple seasons in the minors, he absolutely crushed the ball, hit over, you know, 400 in Double A 2 years ago, and then hit the previous season, you know, previous from this last season, he was in Triple A, he hit, you know, 330, over 330. So yeah, I just think that there's a chance he could put it all together this year and he also really bounce back. And
doing it in the minors, though, I mean, we've seen players like Buxton and others, you know, I'm not saying he's a bust by any means, Vlad, that is.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that you're getting a guy who's never seen big league off-speed pitching or pitches, like not as frequently as he does. You know, in the minors, you see it because they get called up, but not as frequently. You didn't have teams game planning as well as they do, you know, in the pros, scouting. And I remember the big takeaway I took from him was my deep dive I did midseason, that he was struggling with breaking pitches low in the zone. He could not hit them. He struggled immensely. Well, now I know he hit really well in the second half as far as batting average, right? Didn't he? Weren't his splits pretty favorable for the second half? That was like something of his.
Yeah, I believe so. So he hit .293 in the second half. Yeah, that's correct. So,
I trust me. I have him at 10th, so I'm not exactly low on him. He's still a top 10 third baseman for me. I just have a hard time taking him over a Chris Bryant, over a Suarez. But if I need the batting average, I get it, because I think the batting average is there. I think the raw power is there. Will we see 30 home runs? I'm not sure. 25, I feel safe. That's what Steamer projects him for. I can see that. But it's like, I have a hard time taking him over Machado. For me, it's Machado, Bryant, Moncada, and Suarez. Those four names, I have a really hard time taking him over, because we've seen those guys for a few years now, except for Moncada, which we'll get to in a moment. We've seen those guys for a few years now be, like, we've seen their ceilings. We've seen what they can offer. I have a hard time taking somebody that still has yet to really prove he could do it over these commodities. And most of them actually go after him in ADP, I believe. So there is that going for me too.
Yeah, and I think by the time we get, you know, to February, March, people are going to be all right back in on Vladen.
He'll be round pick, early fourth. And I'm like, no, I'll just sit back and take Machado or Moncada, Suarez. I like these guys. Again, and that's another thing. These are my personal ranks. This is how I would – but every draft – this is why I'm gonna stress it all offseason. I prefer tier-based approach, because I have all these names in the same tier. What that means, the ranks show my preference, but the tier suggests I value them all equally. So whatever my team needs is what I'm taking from this tier. If I need power, I'm gonna take Suarez. If I need speed, I'm gonna go Moncada. If both those guys are gone and we get down to like, oh, Bryant, Machado, and Chapman are there. Well, if I need batting average base, if I need some batting average with some runs, I'm going to go Chris Bryant. If I need to swing for the fences, literally because I need power, I'm taking Machado. We know his upside and the power's there. If I want something, if I really want upside, then my problem is by the time the fact that we have Guerrero priced here, but he's going like he's almost going to be priced with the second tier guys. That's the issue. So I know people attack ranks, and I'm okay with that. Come at me, bro. But I'm serious. Like we can discuss them, but my ranks only show my preference within a certain tier. If I place somebody in a tier with others, it's because I value them the same. Because you can argue, you know, who's projected to be better as far as his stat line is projected to be better than Suarez is Donaldson.
Yeah,
but with Donaldson, you have to trust the health, and just because he did it first time in 3 years, I'm supposed to suddenly buy in. I don't, but. We're jumping ahead too far. I'm sorry. I know I've been talking for a little bit. You want to say anything about any of these guys? I just threw some names out there. I don't
know. No, you're good. You're good. So I did talk about Vlad Jr. here, who I have at 7. Like I said, I think he's going to be one of those helium guys, going to go back into the third round. He'll be a bust. If you're drafting now, you're probably going to get a good value, because I think he's going to bounce back his sophomore season. And yeah, I think he's going to be great. But
he would do great with a sweet, like a little bit of a lift in a swing, add some loft, you know, a little bit of launch angle to that swing of his.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have no doubt that he can do it. Just, you know, is this going to be if this is going to be the season, you know?
Exactly.
Right. So at 8 here, I have Yoan Moncada.
Okay, and I have Moncada at 7. So
yeah,
we're both higher than consensus, I think.
Yeah, he missed a bit of time, and he still had a great season by all standards. I mean, you know, 25 home runs, 10 steals. What'd he miss, like 20 games, something like that? I think he only played.
Yeah, and his StatCast page is bright red too.
Yeah, so he only played 132 games. I mean, the potential is there for Moncada. The sky's the limit for him. I mean, like you said, his StatCast page, you know, top 3% exit velocity.
He increased his plate discipline a little bit last year. He
cut down on those strikeouts.
The power speed is there, and not to mention, he's gonna be hitting what should be a. I think he's gonna be hitting a really, really good lineup. If not, he'll be hitting fifth.
Yeah, yeah. That lineup is getting better. You know, it's a great park to hit in.
Yeah.
Now, he won't maintain, like, he can't maintain a 406 BABIP. You know,
yes,
so,
he can.
I don't think so.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
totally joking.
That went right over my head.
Yes, he can. No, he can't. That'd be like record breaking, man. No.
Right.
But he could realistically, he could do like a 350 bang BABIP.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, 350, even 360 BABIP, you know, up in there with his sprint speed. Absolutely. So, I mean, 406 won't be maintained. I won't count on him hitting, you know, over 300. But I have him down here for, you know, potential 280, 25 home runs, 15 steal season. I mean, that right there is, you're looking at, you know, great, you know, top 25 value right there.
Yeah, I think realistically, I think 25 and 12 with a 265 to 270 batting average is fair. I think
that's a good conservative projection.
And I think that's very realistic. And that could potentially be his floor. And that's why I have him ranked at seventh. I honestly want to switch him and Suarez a little bit. But it comes down to team construction. And during that mock the other night, I took Suarez because I needed power. And we saw that he has 49 home run upside, or 48, wherever he hit last year. And that's why that decision was made. But looking back, I probably should have taken the speed because power came to me later anyway. But anyway, that's a whole other discussion. Mankata, though, I'm really all about him. I rank him aggressively, and I'm going to have him on a lot of teams this year.
Yeah.
Because I think me and you, again, are higher than consensus. As a whole. Like, I'm 100% sure exactly where. But anyway.
And I might actually flip him and Vlad here.
join the dark side.
I might do that, especially in roto leagues. Like roto or category leagues, yeah, because of the steals. In points leagues, I'll probably still have Vlad above him.
Yeah, well, points leagues change a lot of values. Like,
yeah,
maybe not in this position, because I'm looking at this position, and until you get to like Moustakas, everybody here has a good OBP. Chapman, I struggled where I wanted to put him. I don't know about you, but Chapman is 11th for me, and he's right behind Vlad, Machado, and Bryant. Remember, I was the big Chapman, the Matt Chapman guy. I was the Chapman guy last year. Huge on him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he offers the same ceiling as those guys. But the problem is he's safer than – and he's safer with a high floor, like a higher floor than – not even a higher floor. Just I feel like he's safer, and I feel like the health is there compared to like a Josh Donaldson. That's why I kept him out of the same tier. But then you get like a DJ LeMahieu, and it's like LeMahieu could be in that upper tier, but – I think he lacks the ceiling to be in the upper tier. I don't think we're going to see the season we just saw from him. So it's like, I really struggle with Chapman. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, so I actually have Chapman at 11th as well, right there with you. I have him right behind Manny Machado. Now, I mean, Chapman has shown for like three seasons now that he is elite as far as hard hit and exit velocity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... If you look at the rankings, it's right up there. 96th percentile exit velocity, 94th percentile hard hit rate. And I mean, 2018, it's like the same. 2017, he's right up there too. So I think he can be a perennial 30 plus home run guy. I really do. The question for me is, will he ever hit for the average? I don't think so. But I do think that I can trust him to hit 30 plus home runs, and I could trust him to play every day. Yeah, and that's valuable.
That is valuable. Exactly. Yeah, it's always going to be the batting average with him. Not, that's going to be bad. It's just never going to be better than – I don't see him being better than like a 265 hitter. But
right, yeah, because, I mean, he hit 249. His expecting batting average is right there at 255.
Exactly.
Right, so the power, I think, is legit.
The guy that's – where do you have Donaldson at? Because Donaldson is like – I feel like Donaldson and him are good comps. Donaldson has the higher ceiling, but the floor is missing half a year.
Right, so
like that's just the harsh reality of it.
Yeah,
and where he goes matters too, though.
It does. I have him at 13th.
I have him at 12. So yeah, we're right there.
Yeah, I have him at 13th. The question is, will he stay healthy? Where does he land? He's about to be 34 years old. I mean, for me, Donaldson is. He was a value for people who took him last season, and that's that.
I think he's still going in the same range, though. He's still going around pick 100, I think, or maybe 80. We need more ADP data. Yeah. We really do. I need ADP in my life.
Right. So he was a value for people last season because he was able to stay healthy. If he's going in the same spot this year, I don't know he's going to be a value because
you're hoping for the health again.
You're hoping for the health. You're hoping that he doesn't decline going into his age 34 season. Now, if this is OBP, I probably move him up a few spots, probably over Matt Chapman, if we're talking OBP league, because he walks so much. And I mean, what he did last year was amazing. 15.7% barrel rate. He still hits the ball a ton. You know that. But like I said, I have him 13 here, just a couple spots behind Chapman because, like I said, will he stay healthy? The age as well. I just don't know. It just feels like a trap for me this year.
I'm thinking about swapping him and LeMahieu. I think that's because him and LeMahieu are in the same tier and they're 12 and 13 for me. Do you have LeMahieu at 12? Is that who's at your 12?
I do. I have LeMahieu at 12.
And they're interchangeable. What do you need? Do you need power? Donaldson. Do you need, unless you really want to wait, you can get Moustakas later. But, actually, there's a lot of power options that we're going to get to.
Yeah. So yeah, Donaldson, there are.
If you need power late, you don't even have to take Donaldson there. I just like the ceiling there more than LeMahieu. But I can understand taking LeMahieu because the floor is higher and he's more likely to play every day. So I get LeMahieu at 13-12. I don't know. That might honestly change come draft season. A lot of these things change as I do more mocks and more actual drafts. Because that's how I found out with a few guys at first base who I prefer where. Because of how, when I drafted, I realized who I preferred as the draft was actually occurring.
Yeah.
These are like, for me, these are like in a vacuum things. I haven't truly decided who I want because I haven't been in a position where I had to pick between them yet in a lot of places. I think once I get to that point, it'll actually really help solidify my ranks. I'm glad we're doing this in December though, because that means we're just that much farther ahead of a lot of people. I guarantee you there's a lot of people not doing this right now, which is awesome for us because it's a chance. It gives us a little wiggle room to be wrong for now.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the earlier you start, the more of a grasp you're going to have on your rankings and the more research you could do. The more conviction you can have in your beliefs come draft season, it's just the more prepared you're going to be. Now, just going back in these last couple spots, I have, I do have DJ LeMahieu 12. We did touch on him in our second base rankings, so I won't really get too much into him. I think we all agree that he is a solid contributor in, just about every category, and he's going to be solid atop that Yankees lineup. And then going back to, where do you have Manny Machado? Because I have him 10th.
I have him at 9.
9. Okay, yeah. So we're just about the same.
We've been pretty much the same on a lot of guys, and we keep our guys in the same tier. We don't differ too much in these, and we kind of understand each other's points.
Yeah.
I'm glad you switched Machado and Guerrero. That makes me happy. But other than that, I put Suarez back up to 6 because I just can't find – I can't talk myself down on him because – where he goes in drafts, you're not really reaching. He's still like a fourth or fifth round pick, and he's still like a potential difference maker in home runs. So it's really hard for me to come down off Suarez. But other than that, I haven't really had many issues. Like, you have Guerrero higher than me, but I get it. I just am not as optimistic. I think the batting average is there. Just little things. I don't want to get back into all these guys, but
yeah,
we are. You've been pretty much lockstep this whole way.
Yeah, I did want to touch on Machado a little bit, just because I feel like. A lot of people are down on him.
I am too.
And yeah, and I mean, I have him 10th, which just feels weird. It feels weird to have him, Manny Machado, at 10. It's
funny because I'm down on him, but I have him higher than you technically.
Right. And for me, I mean, I almost want to move him up here. And because you're looking at five straight seasons of 30-plus home runs and 156 games played. And we know how talented he is. You look at the stack. Yeah, multi-position eligible. He's going to be eligible at shortstop and third base. You look at his Statcast metrics, and he's the same player throughout his whole career, including last year. He's been the same player. Really no difference. He's just been consistently, a consistent hitter. Now, maybe the results have been a little inconsistent, but he's the same guy. Sprint speed hasn't changed, hard hit, exit velocity, launch angle. Everything's right in line with his career. The only thing that went up was his strikeout rate. And, I mean, sometimes you got to cut guys some slack the first year in a new place. You got to think maybe they're, pressing. But he's not at that age where you think that the plate discipline is declining. So, I mean, I think we've seen him bounce back from a similar season before. In 2017, he hit 33 home runs with a 259 batting average. This last season, he had 32 home runs with a 256 batting average. The seasons were almost identical. And he followed that up in 2018 with a 297 batting average, 37 home runs, 14 steals. So, I mean, he can absolutely do that again, which would put him far, you know, farther up these rankings for sure, you know. So, yeah, I think I believe in a Machado bounce back, and I almost want to move him up here, at least ahead of Suarez.
I get that. I totally, I do. I really do. I don't know, man. I just think it's so well documented how much he struggles away from Camden. It's so well documented. He's just not the same hitter. So it's like, it's one of those, like, you move him down because you got to show me first a little bit. And yeah. I feel like where we have him is settling. Because I think Sporer, I heard somebody who has him, like, I've seen him outside a lot of people's top 10s at the position. And I'm not willing to do that. Like, no. Like, people have LeMahieu.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I buy that. I looked into a little bit into his splits, you know, between Camden and outside of Camden. And I believe for his career outside of Camden, he's like a 270 hitter.
260-something, I think, actually. 267, I think it was. Weird stat. Okay. I saw it, too, though. I did see it somewhere. I think that was actually Sporer had it on his third base preview article. He mentioned it because he's like, away from Camden, it was like 267 career hitter or something like that.
Yeah.
And he had him ranked like 13th or 14th at that position. And I couldn't agree with that being that low on him, because I still think that you just the talent's there, the upside's there, the ceiling's there. You don't just disregard all that because he hasn't really had a chance to play that much outside of Camden. You know what I mean? Like, as far as like having a full-time home park somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
So I'm that's why I feel like me and you are pretty, not high on him, but I think we're pretty much
in line with the same, you know, train of thought.
Here. Oh, no, but I'm thinking as far as in general, though, I think our consensus on him, we might be slightly higher, but not much. Right. Like, we're kind of like, we're willing to take him over a couple other names that others aren't, but.
Yeah. Now, moving on here, we're getting, I mean, we still got names like Max Muncy, who I have next at 14th.
Yeah, me too. It kind of goes back to that. We are not going to harp on this one. We talked about Max Muncy at the last two positions.
Right. So some of these guys were ranking in our third base rankings, but they're for sure going to be playing other positions, like, you know, first base for Max Muncy.
Second as well.
Yeah, second base. I mean,
where you need second baseman. Second baseman's second and first are way more difficult to fill. So you're probably drafting Muncy as a first or second baseman.
Even my next guy here at 15, I have Jeff McNeil. You're probably playing him at second base or even in the outfield.
Yep. Which kind of, and then that ends a tier for me again. Then it goes right back to Moose at 16. And I'm almost willing to move Moose. Moose I was torn on. I might move Moose up a tier. Just because, remember, it goes back into that. He got that signing. He's kind of safe. He's just like a Donaldson, except for he plays every day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He lacks that ceiling. But Jeff McNeil lacks that ceiling too. So I think,
Moose might
move up for me one tier. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I can see that. So I have McNeil just ahead of him just because of the batting average. You know, he's going to be a batting average asset. We saw his power, you know, increase in the second half of the season. He hits a ton of doubles. So I think McNeil, for me, takes another step forward in points leagues because of that. So he hit 38 doubles in 133 games last season. That's top 16. And, I mean, among the top 20 – in doubles, he played the fewest amount of games. So he doesn't strike out too much. He's going to hit a top of that lineup. He led off for most of the season with the Mets. So McNeil, he's definitely, like I said, you're probably going to play him at second base or the outfield, but he's one of those guys that takes a little bit of a step up in points leagues. Yeah, and then with Moustakas, you know, obviously we like the landing spot. I have him at 16.
So the only thing
that has him down here for me is just the OBP. So, like, guys, like, ahead of him that you could see as, like, kind of similar players, like Max Muncy and Josh Donaldson, is just the plate discipline that has them up there for me.
Which kind of falls into my next guy, which I'm a little higher on, and I'm wondering if I should move him down, but I can't seem to do it as – Justin Turner, I have him at 17, and I think you have him like around 20.
So I actually moved him up a bit before we jumped on. Yeah, I was kind of reviewing my rankings here, and I moved him up to 17 as well. Yeah,
he's just so solid, man.
And the thing is, can you count on more than 130 games from him?
But that's you know? Only that's, yeah. But if you can get 130 games of mid, you know, 25 home runs, 80 RBIs, 80 runs, and .280 average, he's solid, and he's definitely better in points leagues and OBP leagues because of that. But he's also good in 5x5. He's a stabilizer. But yeah, he doesn't stay healthy, so it's aggravating. So that's why it's like I want to move him down. But am I really gonna put him over? Am I really gonna put him below Sano, who also has health issues? Yes, yeah. he has a higher ceiling, but he also can drag your batting average down. Do you really want to put him? Do you really want to put him over Gurriel? Who, yeah, he might stay healthy, but I don't believe he's gonna have the year he had last year. I think he was one of the biggest, but like bigger benefactors of the just ball. I think
yeah, absolutely.
You look at his track record. It's his track record. Playing full seasons are like the same production as Justin Turner missing time. Eduardo Escobar, you know how I feel about that. I want to move him lower. I just can't because it's not fair.
Yeah. So, I mean, with Turner, I mean, I'd almost rather stay away from him in any kind of head-to-head format just because of that injury risk. I think I'd almost rather just have him in Roto as like a corner. Ranking him 17th here, I'm not sure where he's going in drafts, but you could probably have him as your corner infielder.
Oh, yeah, and for sure.
Feel great about that. Feel good that you're going to get a good batting average. I mean, yeah, he's 35 years old, but, I mean, the Statcast metrics still look good. I mean, I have him down here at 17 just basically because of the health and age concerns.
That's exactly what it is. If he would actually be in the tier above if it weren't for the health concerns.
Yeah, he'd be right in there with Donaldson and Muncy and McNeil, right? Yeah, he'd be right in with those guys.
He would probably be where Donaldson's at or right there under LeMay. Either way, yeah, he'd be top 15.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and then I have Yuli Gurriel at 18.
Him at 21.
Yeah, 36 years old. The average is going to be okay.
Just nothing special. So this is where I took my chance. I mean, I have Sano at 19, one of the guys I have ahead of him. He could his projections are actually 38 home runs and 100 RBI, and the home run the power is very real. He just hasn't stayed healthy in years, but there's rumor he's going to move to first base. That could really help his health potential. And you're looking at a guy who could hit, be a difference maker in home runs and RBI. But yeah, he could drag your batting average down. So I put him above Gurriel. That's one of the names I put up. Tommy Edman, just because the steals, I value the steals and batting average later than I value the middling power and batting average. So that's why that. Was the way that's why that one's the way it is, but you know, the big one, the big name I have here, I don't know.
Hell yeah,
I'm really high on him, and it goes back to my JD Davis love. It's just StatCast darling, everything was backed by StatCast numbers, everything was backed. The actual production was backed by the StatCast, by the X stats. The plate discipline solid, there was a swing change, there was a batting stance alteration as well. Everything's just he was always a lefty masher, and he actually hit righties really well, and he wasn't playing for the Astros anymore, so you can believe that he wasn't cheating. In all seriousness, I just love what I see, and I know that his biggest thing is playing time. Right now he's a projected starter, but I get it. His glove is terrible. He needs to go to the AL, but if they allow him to make – and defense can be fixed. Like, you can fix defense. That's one thing I definitely can get fixed. Major leaguer can fix, you know what I mean, like no matter what point in their career. So I'm aggressive on him. I've gotten him in a few early drafts already too. So it's like I am practicing what I'm preaching. I took him in the FBC as my starting third baseman, and I'm honestly really happy about that because I think he legitimately has 25 to 30 home run power, 80 RBIs, 80 runs, and a 270 to 280 batting average. I think that's realistic. That's a realistic potential for him, and you're getting him as late as you are. He's pretty much like a Justin Turner without the price.
Turner was a good comp. I think you're kind of spot on there. I think if he can make the same kind of adjustments that Justin Turner made in his career, I think that's a pretty good comp. If he does need to raise that launch angle, but I like you said, I think that power is there. So I mean, we'll see. I like JD Davis too. Maybe I'm not banging the drum, you know, as much as you are here for JD Davis, but
yeah,
I could see it. I could definitely see it. You know, like you said, the Statcast metrics are all there. I think he's going to hit for a good average as well. He's got that power potential. Just you'd like to see that swing adjustment. You'd like to see him put the ball in the air a little bit more. I think he did.
I think he fixed those. That's what I'm saying. Part of his adjustment was he added some launch angle this year, which is what helped with the power. That's why he put up, I think, 20 home runs in his limited time.
Yeah. He still hit a 47% ground ball rate, and you'd like to see the fly ball. Yeah. You'd like to see the fly ball rate go up from 30%.
what that means, he's hitting a lot of line drives, which supports the batting average.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so when he's hitting the ball as hard as he does and he's hitting 22.9% line drive rate, you like that for the batting average.
And he actually backed off pulling so much, so he kind of took more of an all-field approach, mostly mm-hmm. to center field, though. So, again, the batting average, the hard hit rate, like the hard hit rate and the launch angle, which gave him the line drive the high line drive rate, is what keeps the batting average realistically aiming a little high. So take some juice out of the ball, 25 home runs. Again, I think Justin Turner was the right comp. I should have just stuck with that one and shut my mouth. I just think you get him without the health concerns. And that's why I rank them back to back, with Justin Turner one ahead of him. But I might make that switch, especially if Davis is called the starter day one, then that switch is going to happen. But
yeah, and there's a couple of guys here that, like you said, if they have like guaranteed playing time, like Tommy Edman, I have him 19. And I know we both mentioned him a bit.
Yeah, I have him at 20.
Yeah, yeah. And we know that he's got the elite sprint speed. We're just hopeful for more playing time. Solid steel source late in drafts that really won't hurt you in other categories. So, I mean, yeah, Tommy Edman right there, I have at 19. Miguel Sano, I know you touched on him a bit. Mm-hmm. Might play first base, which would, you know, boost his value a bit. And it would, I mean, he strikes out a ton, you yeah. know. Which is, just strikes out 36% of the time. So he's probably better in, like, roto instead of, like, head-to-head because he's going to be quite streaky. But that 21% barrel rate, oh, man.
Imagine if he has that Stanton power upside. Like, he has that, like, 50-something homer. He has that 50-plus home run season in him.
Yeah, unfortunately, he has that health track record, too.
Yeah, and he's younger, which is weird. Gurriel, we talked about Escobar. I'm not talking about him again. He's another guy. I talked about him on second base. I'm out on him. I'm done.
Yeah, like, yeah, we don't
25 need to. Home runs, 80 RBIs, 250. Boom. Call it a day.
Yeah.
Then we get into these, like, deeper league guys. Birdie was a guy that I liked late for speed, but VR kind of put a kibosh on that. Although right. there is a chance that Birdie can, I guess, win the job over, like, a Brinson or something, but I doubt it because the Marlins have no reason to see what a 28- or 29-year-old Birdie can do over a 23-year-old Brinson. I think that's how old they are, but you know what I mean? So I doubt that's going to happen. So I'm not going to really talk about Birdie other than that. He's on my ranks, but I have to update him now because he doesn't belong there. I found myself really – I have at 23, I have Miguel Andujar. I found myself targeting him more and more in drafts because he's just falling. We saw in the year without the juice ball, he put up high 20s home runs, solid RBIs, and solid batting average. Like, what more do you want from a guy that you can get this late?
Yeah, I have him right there at 24. I'm right there with you. I think he's someone that you can't forget about, really. I mean, he was right there with, you know, had one of the better rookie seasons in 2018 and then unfortunately was hurt last season. But he's going to come back in that Yankee lineup in that stadium and could put up, you know, similar numbers, 280 average, 30 home runs. You can't forget about Miguel Andujar. I have him 24th, but he's one that can easily shoot up the rankings here.
Just got to see where they plan on playing him, his health, all that good stuff. That's
the right. Matters. Yeah, at 23, I have Hunter Dozier.
I have him at 24, so there you go.
Yeah, just flip-flop there, yeah. I have him down as
– we've been pretty much lockstep all night, man. Like,
we have, yeah. We're right on the same page here. I have Dozier as someone who's just solid. He strikes out a bit more than you'd like, and then obviously the lineup there is going to be so questionable, especially if they end up trading like, you know, guys like Whit Merrifield. So you don't like the lineup. But, I mean, hey, if you're looking for – he's someone who I can see fall in, like, 12-teamers, like, on and off the waiver wire all season.
Yeah, streak, like, matchup dependent. But that division's getting tougher. It's not like – I mean, the pitching is always – you know, he's had the Indians to face, but the White Sox are getting better. The Tigers are still a mess, but – and who else is in there? I'm trying to think of the other team.
Yeah.
I'm losing track of thought.
The Twins, the Indians, the White Sox, Tigers.
The Twins are also, I think they're trying to improve their pitching staff. So we'll see what happens there. But all in all, I mean, the White Sox are one less team he could beat up on, you know, with they have Grandal now helping call games. And that's, you know, he's such a great catcher as far as pitch framing and all that. It's just, he's going to take that pitching staff to the next level, not to mention if they sign somebody and who they have, you know, Giolito and all that in company right now, you know, Kopech and Cease. Just, yeah. I don't know, man. It's just not as easy as a division to beat up on. So you take away some counting stats. Even, you know, with if they trade Merrifield, it's just it's just the ceiling's limited. So I don't have the high expectations or hopes that some others do, but he's all right. He's not bad. He's a good guy to follow, like a corner fielder in deeper leagues. Some right. 15 teamers, but totally, like you said, I like that 12 team analogy, like on and off the waiver wire. I could totally see that. He has a good, like if he has a really good schedule ahead of him, plug him in for the week and hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
We have a 25. Like, let's run through some names here, I guess, 25 through 30.
Sure. So at 25, I have Ryan McMahon.
Oh.
And let's see. McMahon, that's tough. I mean, obviously the Colorado Rockies situation is tough. You don't know where he's going to play, who they're going to bring in.
He's not even in my top 30. I just realized that. Well, you know what? Birdie's got to go. McMahon, welcome to the top 30.
There right. you
go. Seriously, it's that simple. Bye-bye, Birdie.
So he did hit 24 home runs. Obviously, you're going to want to play him in Coors. That's pretty much it.
If he's starting,
right.
God, it's such a mess. I'm so sick of that situation. It keeps coming up in these ranks, and we're about to get to outfield where it's going to happen again. What about 26?
Let's see. And at 26, I have Scott Kingery, who I actually like a lot more today than I did when I did these rankings.
Yes. And, oh, see, but even then, like, I can't – I was going to move him up a few spots, but then I have to move him over Yandy Diaz and Urshela, which I'm okay with, I guess. I'm not as high on him because that batting average is such a drain, but it's good to know – at least I think he has everyday playing time pretty much locked up. Although the Phillies made a big splash with the Wheeler signing – so you got to think they're probably in the market for a third baseman as well. But that still keeps him at shortstop, right? Or no? Oh, second base, sorry.
Yeah.
So I think the playing time's there. Power-speed combo, not bad to grab for power-speed at the end of drafts for sure.
Good right. value. So I have him at 26 right now. But given that, you know, it's looking like he's going to have an everyday job locked up, I'm probably going to have him over a few of these guys here, at least over like Escobar, Dozier, McMahon. He's probably jumping those guys for me. I have him as a sleeper. Like, you know, he went 15 home runs and 19 steals last season. And I think he's got 2020 potential in him. He kind of reminds me of Marcus Semien of like, you know, prior to last season.
Mm-hmm.
The profile, you look at the StatCast pages for both these guys too. They're very similar. You know, elite sprint speed, maybe the power, you know, metrics don't back up, you know, the home run numbers, but I think 2020 is there. Now I was kind of,
you know, what stops him from the 20 stolen bases though is I don't know. They have a new man. They have the whole new manager thing, but Gabe Kapler. Jeez. Girardi.
Right. Joe Girardi.
Yeah. That's who the manager is. It's been a crazy off season. It's like, you almost forget. Like that was like the big news for a while there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, hey, it's December and guys are signing, all right? The hot stove is on. Right, so, right. Yeah. Beautiful. So you almost forget about some of these moves.
You haven't just after how bad last year was, you know what I mean? Like, it's just nice to see, and it's so busy that like his track record with teams in the past, I should go see like how he, like when he was a manager, how like, you know, how Matheny's known to his teams in the past never really ran.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm wondering how he allows these guys to run. But Kingery's still going to be hitting at the bottom of the lineup. His plate discipline is always, you know, it needs to be improved. And it's just like there's a lot of – like, obviously you're chasing the power-speed combo, but there's just potentially such a drain at batting average and definitely an OBP that it could really hurt you. You got to build for that guy, man.
Yeah, for sure. So –
So go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just think the potential is there. I mean, he hits a ton of line drives. He hits the ball. I mean, if you look at his Fangraphs hard hit percentage, it's at 45.9%. And if you pair that with the 26.2% line drive rate and this elite sprint speed that he does have, I mean, you could see maybe a season with an inflated BABIP. Like I said, I think for me, I kind of comp him to Marcus Semien. And I was a year, I've always liked Semien, and last year was the first season that I was just off, and I was kind of, yeah, that burned me a bit. But, yeah, I think Kingery can – I think he profiles similarly.
How do you feel about Nick Solak? You know I'm big on him. So Mike made me look into him one time, and I fell in love. I was smitten. And there's a good point, though. Like, he could lose. I think he's projected to start at third base for the Rangers right now. So, if they actually do land a third baseman, he could be in trouble for playing time. But he's the power-speed combo I want over Kingery. Maybe not as many steals, but he's projected 21 home runs and 8 steals. So, I think legitimately 20 and 10 is realistic with a 268 batting average. So, maybe 270 even. I'm rounding up. I know. I'm trying to be optimistic here. But either nevertheless, he's still a legit power-speed combo with a solid batting average. And he's going literally, like, end of drafts, if not undrafted in 12 teamers. Except for he's a little like, I know our guy, our draft took him. I think Mike actually took him in the mock. So, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But if it wasn't for him, he was probably going to fall and not be drafted, or I would have taken him because I'm also in on him. But I don't know. What do you think about Nick Solak?
Yeah. So I have him at 28th.
Okay. Which... So you're still there. At least you have him ranked.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. So I have him ranked 28th. Like you said, if, I mean, the playing time, we'll see how that lineup shakes out, you know, come spring training. We'll see who they acquire. But, yeah, I could see the potential there for sure.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, yeah, I do like the plate discipline that he did show, you know, in his first stint in the majors, walking 11%. And now I know it's only in 33 games, so that's a small sample size. But, yeah, you could see the potential there with the 5 home runs and the 2 steals in those games, hitting .293. Yeah, he's someone I might have to move up to.
You know, a guy who's been number 30 for me, I think, on every position that he's been eligible is Tommy La Stella. You need high floor at the end of your drafts, a little bit of power, some batting average. Tommy La Stella is just safe and solid. It's that simple. Yandy Diaz, another guy that I don't know what to do. The Rays, you know, right now have pretty much a path for almost everyday playing time for him. If that's the case, are we all too low on Yandy? We saw the potential, and we see the biceps. It's like,
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I was a big Yandy fan coming into this season, so I mean, yeah. I mean, is there really any reason to be off of him at this point? I mean, I know he made us incremental, you know, small little improvement in his launch angle. You hope that he can continue that. That barrel percentage is looking, you know, a lot nicer, you know, raised, you know, by 6% over 2018.
If the Rays, like, this is the one time where I don't want the Rays to make any moves. Yeah. But you know they're going to go out and make – they're going to be the ones who sign Howie Kendrick.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's going to happen. They're going to sign Howie Kendrick, who could play first, second, and third, which would mess with Nate Lowe, Brandon Lau, and Yandy Diaz.
Yeah.
And those are all
– I can see that.
As of right now, I love their lineup. I love all three of those guys, but Yandy's the one I like the least. And either way, though, Yandy, whoever his name is. So I try to get him right, but I know I'm screwing up. I think it's Yandy, right?
Yeah, Yandy.
Yeah, so it's like the Rays just are – they're like the Rockies of the AL. It's aggravating.
Yeah, yeah.
And any other names worth mentioning?
I mean
– Urshela, if he starts, I like him. He's in the Yankees lineup. It's that simple.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're talking third base here, and we haven't even mentioned Matt Carpenter's name. Right. He's neither in mine either. You just
how the money have fallen.
Right? I mean, he's going stupid cheap right now.
Well, he's not bad like last round flyer, but he had that hot 6 weeks in 2018 that carried his value all of last year, and people just didn't give up on him because of the name. There's nothing suggesting any type of turnaround in his profile either. So I don't know, man.
Was just an interesting name that we hadn't mentioned yet. And then there's also Travis Shaw. I mean, he's a free agent. Yeah, you think about a team that might need like a third baseman or a first baseman.
You'll hear it on the podcast where I spoke to Alex Fast. I mentioned, I was like, the Marlins can just literally take, and he's like, because he's an Orioles fan, so the Orioles too. And you can just take those teams and they can just literally go out and just pick up all these non-tendered guys and make a new team out of them. Like, we weren't exaggerating. Like, that's how baseball has come so top heavy and bottom feeders, man. Teams are so good, they have to let go of these great guys that other teams can make a whole roster out of.
Oh, yeah. You take all the non-tendered guys, and, I mean, they're by far better than the Marlins.
Yeah, if you make a team of them, they could probably win 60 games.
Yeah.
It's so sad. Marlins are so bad. But the Giants aren't looking so good either. And you guys non-tendered Pilar, so.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not looking so good. But we kept Dickerson though. So, I mean,
boom.
You're still going to hear the Dick chants out of Oracle Park.
But the thing is I actually like him for like deep, like 15 teamers for like a little bit of power upside. Him and Yaz are actually interesting pieces to your team.
Yeah, the thing with Dickerson is just if he could stay healthy. But yeah, he's certainly flashed some potential with the bat for sure.
That's why it's like he's another guy. Remember how you said Dozier on and off? Like he's a guy you'll be streaming in season when he's like away, when he's like, you know, four games in cores that week. Perfect streamer. You'll probably have him on a list or two this year.
Yeah.
Assuming that you pick up that article again for Fantrax. Well, I think that's going to do it, man, right? Like, I think we're good. We did a lot of, you know, this position. Talked about 30 players.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is by far the deepest position that we've looked at so far.
Shortstop gets better.
Yeah.
Outfield's going to be in two parts, by the way. I'm already telling you that now. Yeah. It's going to be two parts outfield. Some pitchers probably gonna be in two parts. And then hopefully come January, be ready to roll with the fun stuff. The sleepers bring out some busts, the stuff that people like to meat and potatoes. This is just like the side dishes right now, getting people warmed up.
Oh, yeah. But oh, yeah. This is still good stuff, though.
It's
this
fun,
is still
man.
Fun, right?
Well, what it does is it throws names out there that people that haven't been doing this, like us degenerates this whole offseason. We've been spending football season prepping baseball. This, honestly, is a lot of help because people are getting to hear names that they were like, oh, they probably haven't heard about in a while or maybe not even thought about. And they're like, wow, maybe I need to get them on my radar.
And dude, exactly, man. Exactly. I have a bunch of – I mean, I have some fantasy football teams in the playoffs right now, and I could care less. I'm just waiting for it to be over. I'm already deep into this 2020 baseball prep.
I'm not even kidding, man. Like, I was thinking, like, other than my very few, like, legitimate, like, home leagues I play in every year, yeah. I might just drop football together because I really enjoy doing this year-round, and I enjoy this so much. It takes away from me able to have time to actually care about fantasy football. I just don't have the time for it. Like, I forgot my waivers a few times this year, man.
Yeah, same here. And I think playing fantasy football just makes me appreciate, you know, our sport here of baseball so much more.
It's just aggravating because there's, like, everybody, like, all the, especially when you start to get to know all of the analysts, a lot of people are really cool in both industries. But yeah. It's rare that, like, baseball has so many different players. You can find players that other people don't quite know about yet. Whereas in football, everybody knows about every player. There's no real like edge to gain because all the information is readily available and it's quick. Baseball, there's always somebody coming out of the woodwork somewhere, and you can gain an edge just by being a little quicker than your league mates or a little more knowledgeable about like the minor leagues. There's always something. It's not – I mean, football has that, but not to the extent that baseball does. So I really think I appreciate that about baseball more, that it takes real strong ownership to win leagues a lot of times, especially in these deeper leagues. Like like right now I'm in the NFBC, this Draft Champions League. Yeah. I might do another one, but the chat, they're talking about, yeah, now we're at the point – we're like in round 30 or 34, something like that, and we're getting to the point of the draft where it's like we're getting, you know – 600 players deep or so, and people are like, I gotta start looking up players. I never even heard half of these names. And this is starting to show where it's like, wow, this prep has worked because I still have a queue pretty full of names. Like, I just drafted Kobe Allard. Like, he's not gonna be relevant in most leagues, but he's relevant in this league as like my 10th pitcher off the board in a 15 team draft and hold. Like, Kobe Allard's name, and I picked up Davey Garcia because he fell late enough and he's in AAA, so there's a chance. And then I'm going to start, you know, I'll start taking some chances like that later on. But, well, yeah. with that said, though, we covered third base. We're going to be moving on to shortstop soon. Yeah, I said it right. It's been a long night. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, hit us up with your questions, please. We are glad to answer them. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at @Mike_Curland. That is George at @JMontanez90. We have two other co-hosts. You have Mike, who is known as SP Streamer. You can follow him at SP Streamer. That's simple enough. And we have Zach, of course. You can follow him on Twitter at BrafZ. You can follow the Bases Loaded podcast Twitter page and Instagram page at Bases Loaded Pod. And, of course, I mean, just stay tuned. I mean, we've been writing all offseason. We've been podcasting all offseason. If you're just now joining us, we greatly appreciate it. Hopefully, we'll get you up to date with what's going on and be a good source for you guys to tune into the rest of the offseason and be and into the season. So until then, guys, though, we will talk to you soon.